This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to the morning run on BFM 89.9, the business station. 6 o'clock today on Wednesday, the 17th of October. I'm Melissa Idris with Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're going to be with you all the way till 10 o'clock today. And let's kick it off with a look at the news. Now, we've been following the case of Jamal Khashoggi, the missing Saudi journalist. So the latest on this, guys, is the fact that sources told the New York Times and CNN that Jamal Khashoggi's body was apparently cut into pieces after he was killed 2 weeks ago at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. So this was after Turkish officials had searched the consulate for about 9 hours yesterday.
Yeah, and the Turkish authorities believe 15 Saudi men who arrived in Istanbul on October 2nd were connected to the disappearance of the journalists and apparently at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul on October 2nd. And Turkish officials have provided CNN, actually, with passport scans of 7 men they suspect to have been part of the alleged Saudi hit team.
Yeah. Cut up, guys.
Yeah, that's right. Now, if you are sitting there wondering why you should care about this story, well, guess what? This story could actually affect you by in terms of prices at the pump because
oil prices.
But Jamal Khashoggi is being seen as a friction point between the US and Saudi Arabia and by extension Turkey as well, given their involvement in this ongoing saga, right? So Saudi Arabia has threatened to perhaps use oil as a political weapon. They are saying $100 per barrel, $200 per barrel, US dollars per barrel for oil. They say bring it on, right? So this could have a direct impact on both you and I.
Yeah, so this is quite surprising to me that, you know, one person could, I guess, you know, spark an international or diplomatic tensions between countries. But I think it goes further than what we're seeing at the surface. We're going to keep you updated on this. I mean, this is, I guess, a case that has dominated the attention of the world. But moving on to Ethiopia, some good news here. The Prime Minister of Ethiopia, Abiy Ahmed, he has appointed women to half his government's ministerial posts. And this includes the job of the Defence Minister.
Yeah, explaining his decision in a speech to Parliament, he said that, you know, women were, in quotes, less corrupt than men and would help restore peace and stability.
Yeah, so look, 50% quota there, that totally blows away Malaysia's 30% club. Up there, right?
Well, not even 30%. So this is 30%. We wanted 30% board representation, right?
Right.
In Malaysia, we have 5 women ministers out of 28 ministers.
Right.
So that's not representative at all.
Yeah. So, you know, Ethiopia obviously setting the tone there, you know, and I did a quick search. There's actually a Wikipedia page on all the female defense ministers out there as well. So, for example, in India, you have a female defense minister as well, and many, many other countries as well. So when, okay, in Malaysia, to be fair, we have a female deputy prime minister. I guess the big question is, when will we see our first ever female prime minister? One can only hope.
Yeah, and you know, I really think we can learn something. So it's not just Ethiopia, guys. Apparently, Rwanda as well has equal gender representation in cabinet. So, mm-hmm. you know, these African countries really leading the way in terms of the, you know, gender equality and representation in cabinet. The other thing about Ethiopia I thought was great was the fact that Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, he cut the number of ministerial jobs. So he was 28 minister posts previously and cut it down to 20.
Right.
Wow. So it looks like, just like Malaysia, we cut the jobs as well, the posts as well.
We need more. It's still quite a big cabinet.
Yeah. And also something else that's interesting about the Ethiopian Prime Minister, he is just 42 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So young.
42 years old makes you, you know, kind of do a self reflection here and just go away and cry or something, wondering what are you doing with your life. Yeah, but 42 years old, you know, once again, we are seeing this sweeping change in terms of the demographics of world leaders, right? It's not just Ethiopia. Obviously, Macron in France, New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, right?
So Don't forget the hottie in Canada.
Oh, calm down now, Melissa. It is Trudeau. Yeah. Trudeau.
Well, there you go. Speaking about gender roles, after this, we're going to be looking at society's perceptions of masculinity. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:11 right now. Here comes your man by Pixies. And we're going to be talking about men and masculinity. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh. And this morning, what's caught our attention is the tweet by Piers Morgan, the host of Good Morning Britain. So he, yesterday, questioned James Bond himself, Daniel Craig. He questioned Daniel Craig's masculinity for wearing a baby carrier. So yesterday, Piers Morgan tweeted out a picture of Daniel Craig carrying his daughter on the front. So what is often known as a papoose. And he wrote in that tweet, he said, "Oh, 007, not you as well." And then hashtag papoose, hashtag emasculated Bond. So that has left, I guess his comments had left many people less than impressed.
Yeah, you have a spate of comments coming in against or just criticizing Piers Morgan's view on manhood. I mean, looking at Daniel Craig, I think it's great that, you know, he's embracing fatherhood. You know, he's baby wearing in a way. He's carrying his daughter who's a few weeks old. Yeah. I think it's great for Piers Morgan to come out to come up with that hashtag emasculated Bond. I think that's quite lower.
So being the non-productive member here on the Morning Run,
I don't have kids either.
Anyways, yeah. Anyways, so I actually had to Google up what papoose was. So now I know it's the
educated, huh?
Yeah, I know. So now I know I've got that item checked off my list there. So once again, I think this discussion, the broader discussion here, is about what actually constitutes the new man, right? And if you look at, say, sociologists, they point to the shift in the society's expectations for men. So no longer can men just be the breadwinner and come home. Oh, I'm tired. Give me a sandwich. It's no longer that. You know, parents have the dad has to be a lot more involved in the family activities, as evidenced by Craig David here.
Yeah, and I think this follows on from our conversation yesterday. With the findings of the Kazana Research Institute State of Households reports. Remember, we were talking about how it turns out that women tend to dominate. Roles or jobs that are seen to be feminine or caretaking. So jobs in nursing, jobs in teaching, jobs in cleaning and house helpers. So really there's a huge disparity in that, kind of following on to these kind of gender defined roles. This morning, when I saw Piers Morgan's tweet, it really got me thinking into how we define or we perceive masculinity. And there really should be a change in that. Remember this, the most memorable TED Talk that I can remember in recent history or in recent months was by this actor called Justin Baldoni. And he, Baldoni, excuse me.
Justin
Baldoni, good looking guy. And, he's often cast in roles that are typically masculine. And he is trying to challenge or have that conversation about what masculinity is. And one of the things I remember him saying was that look at mass shootings, school shootings, right? That has really been the consequences of us not redefining what masculinity is in today's society. Because you look at mass shootings, it's predominantly men, and it's men who feel like they have lost control or are emasculated or need to show a certain I'm using air quotes here, strength, right? So using guns or violence to prove a certain level of masculinity.
And the phrase that some sociologists would use would be status frustration. So they are not, they being some of these males who act out, they feel frustrated because they can't attain the status that they think they should be given by society because they're seen as less masculine or whatever. So they act out. And we have seen this, this narrative, how society expects men to behave. It has changed. You just got to look at the movies, right? In the past, it was Rambo and Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Chuck Norrises who dominate, right? Well, now it's a very different breed now in terms of leading men, you know, who are perhaps more emotional as well. So while that may be portrayed on these silver screens, I dare assume that, especially in conservative societies around Asia, you know, that we still tend to hold to the more stereotypical view of men, right, I think.
Well, I think in this day and age, fathers are more hands-on. They're definitely more hands-on compared to 20 years ago or even as even 10 years ago. Definitely, you see more men, more dads. They are more active when it comes to taking care of the kids, you know, feeding the baby, changing the diaper. Actually, my husband was the first person to change the diaper for our eldest son. You know, I was
yeah,
like,
and wait, what happened to the second son? He slacked off. No.
But, but I'm just saying, they're a lot more hands-on.
Yeah. And different from a generation ago.
Yeah, definitely. And you can see that they do it willingly. It's not like grudgingly, you know. They love it. You know, dads out there right now today, they love fatherhood.
Yeah, so I'm going to tweet out that TED Talk with Justin Baldoni. It's called Man Enough. And that phrase, you know, we're seeing that used a lot. And I really wonder, every time we use it, how damaging it is to our young boys, right? You know, aren't you man enough? Like, step up and be man enough. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing this in the news. So yesterday, at the, you know, the big blue taxis, the ones that we see on the road, the taxis.
So here in KL?
Yeah, in KL.
Or the blue van.
The blue, So yesterday, apparently they were very upset with Tony Pua's comments that the government was working with Grab for the last mile connectivity, and they wanted to stage a demonstration. And in the report, the founder of the big blue taxis had said, oh, if Tony Pua is anak jantan, then he will come and meet us at this demonstration. And anak jantan being, you know, a real man, if Tony Pua is a real man. And that got me thinking about the use of that phrase. Every time we use a phrase like that, it chinks away at our young boys. Think in the insecurity and, you know, the idea of what masculinity is.
Yeah. Do you also think also it starts from young? So, you know, when it comes to toys, you have like baking toys and the masak-masak and all that. I remember
when my kids were
young. So I used to buy for my kids, and an auntie asked me, you know, hey, Joyce, why are you buying this toys for your boys to play? And I'm like, they like cooking and my boys love baking. I bake with them. And I said, you know, I think that's fine, you know. And nowadays, I feel that more and more parents, they're more open to buying different toys for their kids, and there's no longer this whole gender stereotyping when it comes to toys.
Well, you know, to employ anecdotal evidence, I'll counter that with my good friends. Look, I love them to death. They've got two boys there. But guess what? Even though they are middle-class urban folk, they will not allow their two boys to wear anything with the color purple. Why? Because in their minds, they see this as a feminine color, right? So while, and to be fair, my friend, the guy, he's very involved in the raising of his two boys there. So I think, yeah, there have been some gains, but this conversation has to keep going in order to see, you know, more meaningful change when it comes to how we view men and their roles in society.
Yeah, well, tell us what you think. We want to hear from you, especially if you have young boys and you're raising young boys. Tell us how you're redefining the notion of masculinity to your children. Our number is 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back with a look at whether there should be restrictions on junk food advertising. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:23 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh, and you're listening to The Morning Run, Girlfriend in a Coma by The Smiths there. Now, Jamie Oliver, the celebrity chef, now he's come out very publicly to criticise his own bosses at Channel 4 and ITV in Britain because of their defence of junk food advertising on TV. So Jamie Oliver, he's been quite vocal. He's been campaigning against sugary drinks and the standard of foods in schools. He has, I guess, come out to say that enough kind of junk food advertising on TV. He's saying that should only happen after 9 p.m.
Yeah, so he's saying that his own TV bosses at Channel 4 and ITV in Britain, you know, they fear for their budgets, and because of that, you know, it's more of because of money, advertising money, rather than thinking about the kids or thinking about the social impact of having junk food ads on air, you know. So he's calling them out.
Yeah, and I believe that here in Malaysia we have similar laws as well in terms of how certain food items or certain even activities, I believe, are marketed to kids, or whether they should be marketed to kids at all, right? So, you know, kind of got us thinking here this morning about the nature of, say, child-centered families, how much choice should children be given versus, you know, making sure that decision-making are solely in the purview of parents.
What is junk food? Like, how would you define what junk food is? Is it like a certain level of sugar or fat or sodium?
Yeah, I guess as you get older, you tend to use a more liberal definition of junk food. At least for me, like, judging by my waistline, it's like, no, it's not junk food, you know.
Do you think it's snacks and also the sugary drinks and all that? But I don't know, during our time, I remember, you know, waiting in front of the TV for 5 o'clock to come and the cartoons come on. And you remember those kind of junk food ads, like, you know, Tora datang lagi. But I don't know. I think everything in moderation, to me, I feel is okay.
Okay, so I've actually been told, okay, as sacrilegious as this may sound, that roti canai is junk food.
No,
I know,
really?
Go figure, right? But because it's just full of carbs and then you dip it in. Well, some people
Dal is quite healthy.
Well, maybe.
That's one component of your breakfast, right? So, yeah, okay. So that's a good point in terms of, you know, how we define junk food. Perhaps, you know, it's the content of that food itself. But do you agree with the idea that there should be certain restrictions on what children can see? You know, having junk food advertising before 9 p.m. exposes them to, you know, this kind of... the idea that there's junk food there. And advertising by nature is meant for you to kind of want it, crave it, right?
It's persuasive.
Persuasive. But also, definitely. Do you think it's like you're policing them too much or protecting them too much and, you know, they become too sheltered and then later on...
That's a very valid point. So rather than, I guess, you know, having that watershed hour, having advertising after 9 p.m., instead, teach your children what it is to eat healthy, right?
Yes.
So that even if they see it and it's in their faces all the time, they know to make the right choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that assumes that kids even have the capacity, you know? I mean, okay, I use the term kids loosely here. It really depends on the age and every individual child will mature at different paces. But that also assumes that kids at a tender age actually have the capacity to make rational decisions like adults would, right? I mean... Joyce, you are the only productive one for now.
For now.
Here on the morning run here. Right, I mean, I'm sure... You know,
I would say reproductive one as opposed to productive. Okay. We're quite productive.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Biologically reproductive. Yes,
that's right.
To be more precise. You know, but I'm sure there are instances, right, when raising a boy, so sometimes, you know, rationale or reasoning with, say, a two-year-old, I mean, that's just off the table, right?
Yeah. It's tough. I'll admit. I mean, it is tough raising kids, but to me, I feel for when we were kids, do you remember growing up? You remember these ads as well? And I feel we turned out okay. It's just, you know.
That's what every generation says, Joyce.
But yeah, you know, and if you kind of shelter them too much, when they eventually get a hold of it, you know, will they go all crazy and they'll go binge eating, binge drinking all these sugary drinks and all that. You know what I mean?
Or they hide it from you. Yeah. Or they do it behind your back.
I just feel moderation to me. But
moderation.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about all things parenting today. Earlier, we asked how you are redefining the perceptions of masculinity to your children. We have a message from CB who says that with regards to masculinity, BFM leads the way in gender and masculinity blind in talk show hosts, producers and interviewed guests.
So, yeah, I'm outnumbered 2-1 right now, so there we go.
Yeah, you know, this is not equal representation.
This is reverse reverse discrimination right here. It's like,
we have a message from Ro who says that pink is no longer a taboo color for men. Mm. He sees it regularly on men and he rides a pink bike. Way to go, Ro.
Hey, isn't this month pink month as well?
Yeah, October.
Yeah, there we go.
Breast cancer awareness.
Yes. Well, tell us what you think. 018-789-8899 is our number, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We want to hear from you, how you're redefining masculinity, also how you're defining junk food as well, and how you're parenting that to your children. Tell us. We've got the 6:30 news coming up next with Keith Kum, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:38 right now. You're listening to The Morning Run with me, Melissa, Joyce and Han today. And we're talking about, I guess, mainly parenting seems to be a bit of the theme this morning, isn't it? We were talking a bit earlier about teaching our children about masculinity, teaching our children about junk food. Now, a comment by, I don't have a name here, Robin is her is his name. And he has said that we're constantly exposed to influencers. It's up to us as parents to point out and educate our children. Of course, it starts with us as an example first. Because you know what? Children see and they kind of copy imitate. What we do. They imitate what we do as opposed to do what we say, right?
Yes. Definitely. Good advice there, Robin.
Yeah. You know, also we've got comments here from, Mr. Tan. So going back to the idea of what actually constitutes junk food. So according to Mr. Tan's, you know, he asks the question, would eating a calories-busting banquet meal just before bed be considered junk food? Because it's a extremely bad habit that we practice. So, you know, earlier I said, you know, as we grow older, our definition of junk food becomes more liberal. Well, looks like I'm not the only one, according to Chia Tian Yuan, saying that all the goreng goreng, pisang, keropok, etc. are junk food other than twisties. So you got to have a vice somewhere.
All right, tell us what you think. Join our conversation this morning, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, everyone has an opinion about the performance of the Education Minister, Mazli Malik. Most recently, his quote-unquote trivial comments about the color of socks and school shoes for the students, right? And that was, I guess, highlighted by Utusan Malaysia. He has come out to say that he actually spoke about this trivial matter for less than a minute. And some media outlets, actually he named Utusan as the media outlet, reported it and highlighted it more than, I guess, what his more important points were about university hospitals and education and all that. So the question I think we're asking this morning really is whether this was something that we bought into, right? So one media outlet, if I could just kind of set the scene here, it was a press conference and Mazli Malik was talking about a specific issue about university hospitals. And one reporter asked the question, so Minister, following from the school shoes, you know, change of colour, are you looking to change the socks of those students? And he said, well, maybe, I will think about it, or it's under review, or something to that effect. You know, some offhand comment, which he was essentially trying not to give a direct answer. And that became the headline, and that became the report. And I guess the idea of, you know, that was how Utusan framed the story, and it went viral. So whether we, I guess, bought into the framing of that story.
Yeah, well, coming from media, right? Coming from a journal, a reporter, when you go to a press conference, it's not how long the person talks on a particular topic, it's whether or not, you know, the substance of it, or whether or not it makes news, or whether or not it's newsworthy, whether or not it's new news.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there is, I mean, from the reporter, for me, like, if I were to go do the story, I would lead with the new news and then followed by what he said. I mean, of course, if he's talking about the hospital, the university hospitals, I would add that in as well. But definitely, because this whole black shoes thing has been ongoing for some time, and there's no actual, until recently, people weren't sure when will it come into effect. Some people thinking that it'll be 2019, and then now they've been given a buffer. I think Bata has come out to ask the ministry as well, when's coming on stream. So I think a bit more direction and also I think as a parent, for me, I'm just hoping that there's more than shoes.
Yeah,
you know?
So here's the thing, Joyce. I feel that there are certain news organizations who are now in the opposition mindset, who are, I guess, diminishing the credibility of the minister by focusing on trivial things. So parents like you are concerned that the minister is not doing enough for education and focusing on school socks and shoes. So whether we have bought into the framing of Utusan has framed the news as such to say that, guys, This is all the minister's looking at.
But what else is he looking at for? I'm talking about schools. I'm not talking about uni. I mean, I'm talking about like from standard one and all that to high school. What has come out so far? I understand it's a big portfolio. I spoke to a education veteran recently. She's in the education line for over 2 decades. And I asked her, what are your thoughts on what's going on with the Ministry of Education? She says, you know, Joyce, you got to remember it's a big portfolio and you need to give them time. Mm. He needs time to work on it. So she's just saying like, kasi chance lah, you know? Yeah.
Look, I think we have bought into this. We being the population at large, okay? Not just us here on the morning run. I mean, the fact that we have been talking about this for 2 days in a row now highlights the fact, right? So now, is this new? Is this shocking? No. Why? Because online media and the print media by extension, they've been doing this even before. I'll give you an example. So last year, I did the breakfast grill with the then KPDNKK minister, right? Dato Sri Hamza Zainuddin. And one online portal, I'm not going to mention them, but I love what they do and I see the role that they play here in Malaysia, right? They picked up on this one obscure statement that he made at this UMNO meeting, right? And that became the headline. That headline being, the headline read, Rise cost of living is God's will. So before the breakfast grill, I make sure I listen to the whole speech. And I will tell you this, honestly, if I was there sitting during that meeting, I would not have picked up on that because that was not what the minister said. But guess what? That Dato Sri Hamza got hammered all over the online social media sites because of that headline, right? Did he say that phrase? Yes. Did he mean it that way? No.
So out of context is what you're
totally
saying.
Totally, okay. Totally out of context.
So here's the thing, right? How do media consumers, news media consumers, then have that, make that distinction or have that kind of background information and context, because it's about literacy, right? For me, if I were to read this in a headline or read an article on the socks, had I known it came from Utusan, I would have framed it that way. Mm. I would have gone, okay, this is Utusan framing this comment in this manner. But I didn't know that it was from Utusan. It came from all the news portals,
exactly,
because everyone picked it up.
Mm.
And I think beyond media literacy, knowing where where a news organization's bias lies, where a news organization's ownership lies, I think that's important, but not the only solution.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look, there's a multi-pronged approach to this, okay? Yeah, on one hand, we say we need to raise the level of nuance or critical thinking when it comes to how we absorb media pieces, and this is for the general population. Yeah, but that assumes that people actually have the time and resources to actually do all that, right? You know, I mean, we here in the studio, our job is to scan through every single headline that comes our way and analyze it. Whereas for the average person, it's just scroll through their Twitter or Facebook feed, they see that headline, forward, done, right? I saw this story about Mazli, about the socks, being forwarded across so many Facebook groups that are education related, right? It just spread like wildfire. Now, that's one approach, right? Being more critical minded. I think Kit Siang has a point here as well, whereby it's saying, Mazli, well, don't give fodder for these guys. You know, be careful of what you say. Don't feed the beast.
Yeah, we're going to come back and discuss this. We want to hear from you. Did you buy into the framing, Utusan's framing of this story? 018-789-8899 is our WhatsApp number, or tweet us at BFM Radio. More news and analysis after this. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:51 right now. Melissa Han and Joyce here with you on the morning run. Something So Strong by Crowded House. Now, we're talking about some strong opinions that have come out following hashtag Socksgate, as mentioned by Kian on Twitter this morning. Mm. And this is, of course, the fact that the Utusan had framed the story of the comment made by the education minister, Mazli Malik, as, you know, changing socks. And that became the dominant headline, and whether we bought into Utusan's framing.
Yes, yeah, so we have a tweet from Hiswani Hassan this morning. He says that, you know, so the Utusan got Mazli this week, and last week the Star got Mujahid. Remember, these are opposition papers, right? That's coming from Hiswani. We also have one tweet from Roland Tan, who goes, Utusan? Grossly biased and unreliable, gonna bungkus soon.
Okay, so Eugene on WhatsApp has also said, does this come under fake news since it was taken out of context? And I'm going to reply to Eugene and Hiswani at the same time because it's about the same thing. So fake news is misinformation, right? Wrong information. Taken out of context is sloppy journalism. So I don't think we should call fake news you know, bad journalism isn't fake news. And I find the term fake news quite problematic to begin with. But in terms of what Hizwani is saying, what happened with Mujahid and the Star is different compared to, I believe, what is happening here with Utusan and Mazli. With the Star, that came, I mean, they came out to kind of explain that it was the question of the reporter and not the answer of Mujahid Rawa that was the headline, right? Mm-hmm. So they came out to clarify that. So I think that's separate. The minister was within his rights to ask for a clarification on that. With this, with Mazli Malik, it was essentially how Utusan chose to run with, and then what we reacted to, because it was something that was so emotive, and we're looking to kind of, you know, look, we're scrutinizing the performance of the minister, which is within our rights, but we are focusing on, I guess, some of the wrong things, telling him that he's focusing on some of the wrong things, right?
Well, so that's pretty much in line with what Fikri has just WhatsApped in, you know, saying that, well, you know, once again, given how Utusan framed the story, this was actually because of comments that the education minister made, like very, very succinctly, very short comments. The broader theme or the bigger point, according to the education minister, was about university hospitals, but that isn't sexy, right?
Right.
So they're trying to go for this kind of clickbaity headline. And guess what? No, sorry to say, it's not just Utusan. Many of the print media outlets, not just in Malaysia, but around the world, they have to thrive on clicks, right? And so they go for what's sensationalist. That's what ultimately gets eyeballs, you know? I'm not saying it's right, nor am I saying it's wrong.
It's just the nature of the way we consume news now.
Yeah, exactly, you know, because when you scroll through how many people actually click on the article and read the whole thing in context, as opposed to just see that sensationalist headline and then just pass it on.
I also want, since you mentioned Fikri, Han, the WhatsApp message, I thought the point that he raised that was really good was the fact that the minister, I mean, despite Mazli Malik being a bit on the back foot recently with all these negative headlines with him, he had actually responded to the reporter's question. I mean, this could have come completely out of left field for him, and yet he took the time to respond, even though if it was a 1 minute answer or an answer that was essentially throwaway and became a headline.
Right. So this is where we can do a shameless plug for radio here. So let's do that. Yeah, no, I mean, in all seriousness, right? Because the reason we have individuals, these headline makers, these thought leaders on the program is because we can't spin this. You are hearing the tone, right? And the entire context from the individual, him or herself, right? As opposed to...
So you're talking about radio. Reading it
because
on print.
Print, you're reading it in your own voice, you've got your own tone, and you know it's filtered through.
And you project.
Yeah,
right?
And you project, yeah, right, your biases as well. And guess what? The reporter and the editors, you know, whether you like it or not, I mean, and I love those guys, but they project their own biases as well, as evident by the various editorial stances evident here in Malaysia, right? And so this phenomenon isn't new. It's just now that, guess what? Now you're the minister of the day, and you kena lah, you know? Because before this, the previous ministers also kena.
Yeah, and I think for me, for Mazli, as a parent, I think we need just a bit more information coming out from him when it comes to what's he doing for the schools. Yeah. I'm not talking about the high for universities onwards, you know. And I think it will come. I guess. what the veteran, the education person I was talking to, who has spent over two decades in the sector, saying that, you know, got to give him time. But of course, how much time? That's the question. And so far, I guess for parents right now, what we're hearing is the shoes, because that's the only thing that's coming out so far when I'm talking about schools. I'm not talking about universities,
right,
and all that. Yeah.
And Mel, look, this is something that we have discussed on the show, even in the Malaysia Lama as well, right? When you have this information void,
right?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Joyce is speaking about. When you have this void of information, it's just the nature of the media beast. You're trying to latch onto something just to fill those headlines. These online portals have got KPIs. You've got to send out 4 or 5 stories by 7 a.m., you know, have this many headlines before the end of the day, right? So they're just looking for anything and anything that gets them the most clicks.
Especially when the minister or whoever has an event and you send your reporter there. I remember covering an event. You have to go to an event and come back with a story. You can't come back and the editor will say, so what's the story? story. You can't say, oh, no story. There's no such thing, right?
Okay, so Lim Kit Siang has come out to say to Mazli Malik, don't feed the shoe trolls, right? Mm. Let your policies speak for themselves. And, you know, with this portfolio, you can't rush into it because, again, if you rush into it, then you make a U-turn, then you can again. Mm. Mm. So how do we get that balance right between not having a void of information or, you know, a vacuum, information vacuum, which is filled with speculation, versus not rushing into policies? Can we tell everyone to just calm down a little bit? Wow. Is that even possible? Can everyone just take it down a notch?
I think for Mazli, maybe, you know, this is where his PR press guys come in. You know, what you could do is, if he has an event, you set the message that you want to put out there already. And also, like, when it comes to schools, you say, yeah, we are working on it. We're working on something. We're looking at the portfolio. Give us time. At least have that message out there, right?
Rather than you're actually coming out to say something.
Yeah, but what I think he's done great, right, when it comes to schools, is the stateless children. I think that was a good move.
That was something for sure,
yeah.
Yes.
But so I guess messaging and more information flow, that would be great.
All right, we also have a message from KF who said, for Mazli's case, I think you need to be fair to Utusan Bernama. FMT picked up the story too. In fact, KF, all the news portals picked it up, including BFM. But we have to remember the source and the framing of that story. Okay, so we've got the 7 o'clock news bulletin coming up next with Keith Kam on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.